Sports Station 105.3, the Fan, entire crew back together again. Sean Trafe, RJ Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Bell. We got Peyton in the back live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. How did things go yesterday?
There was no fires. No fires to have to put out, except for your throat. How's the throat? Fiery?
Like, yesterday it was fine, and then it was a head cold, and then, like, this morning at, like, 3, 4 o'clock, my throat started burning again, but... I cannot miss a game day, and I cannot miss a must-win game day for the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, what do you mean by must-win?
Brad Sham, here's what I mean. I'm glad you asked. If the Dallas Cowboys, and I want to qualify it clearly and define it, especially when the web team puts out, Sean Tree says must-win game, and everyone goes, we're mathematically still in it.
Wait, 14 games left.
If the Dallas Cowboys lose tonight to the New York Giants, they can still make the playoffs. If the Dallas Cowboys lose tonight to the New York Giants, I do not believe that Mike McCarthy is fired tomorrow. But I believe if the Dallas Cowboys lose to the New York Giants tonight, it will be the end of Mike McCarthy at some point in time this season or after the season because of the stretch that follows. I think tonight is absolutely must win for Mike McCarthy, given how fragile this team is, his own mood and sensitivity, and the fact that after this, you have the Pittsburgh Steelers on the road, the Detroit Lions, then the bye week, where maybe a change could be made, I don't know. You come out of that at San Francisco, at the Atlanta Falcons, with the Philadelphia Eagles, with the Houston Texans, and then you get whatever the Commanders are. That is brutal. And if you screw up this gimme game, which some may not have it as a gimme game at 7:20 this morning when we make the picks, I believe it's the end of Mike. Tonight is a must-win game for Mike McCarthy, in my opinion, to be able to coach for next year.
Well, yeah, I mean, it probably is very likely because in order for him to coach for next year, they have to make the postseason in advance. Would Mike survive if they go 9-8, sneak in, and make the NFC Championship game?
Maybe.
Right? So, like, and I would, I mean, I would look worse on him if they're 9-8 and they make the NFC Championship game than if they're 12-5 and they lose in the division round.
I guess I'm trying to say I don't believe that they make the playoffs if they lose this game.
It's going to be very difficult.
Tonight, with the stretch that follows.
Yeah. Now, it's going to be very difficult. I think they beat Pittsburgh. I don't like the way Detroit's playing. They're moving the ball, but they're not like capitalizing on drives.
San Fran's not playing well.
San Fran's not playing well, but we know how they play against San Fran.
Atlanta's not scary.
Houston has not played great this year.
Philadelphia could be gettable.
Washington. I mean, are we really buying that yet? So it's not like it's not murderer's row, but it's a tough stretch. I mean, a lot of those games are toss-up games. And you're right. I mean, you know, in a league where favorites are going down the tubes left and right, and you've got teams that are 2-1 that nobody expected to be 2-1 or 3-0 for that matter. It's a wild season. I don't want to be part of that.
Bob, what do you think about my must-win take?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a must-win from, you're right, the way the schedule breaks down. I think it's also a must-win just from the fact that the way that people are talking around this team the last 4 or 5 days shows like they know, like, hey, we're at kind of a point right now where if this doesn't turn around, it's gonna tilt to a really bad direction.
Yeah.
And so I think just from that sense, just to soften that over, calm that down, and especially get 10 days, you do not want to lose tonight and then sit on that for almost 2 weeks. That's gonna be something that I don't know what kind of mood we're going to get from...
What do you mean sit on it for 2 weeks?
Because
two games, then the bye.
Right, no, but I'm just saying because it's a middle of the week game. You're sitting on it for 10 days. More than a week is basically what I'm just saying. But you got to sit there and stew in that. And, you know, Jerry coming back on Tuesday, I'm sure if they lose this game, after sitting on that for a little bit, he's going to be pretty frustrated. Mike McCarthy's probably not going to be very happy. And you're already sensing tension between the players. That's definitely not going to get any better tonight if they lose.
There is a Jerry fire the general manager movement that has gone viral with this guy standing in front of the Ford Center at the Star in Frisco. Petitions are being passed around. T-shirts are being sold.
Look,
hold your breath.
You know, I actually don't
hold your breath. Well, some of you hold your breath.
Settle down just a little bit.
There are some things that are worth putting petitions out for, and some that are not. And this is not, because it's just a waste of energy. And I don't know, like, what do people do that have this much time on their hands to worry about a petition that's never going to happen?
Is there any way that something like this would push him towards a Belichick? Not him giving up titles, stepping aside, not having fingerprints on. Is there any way something like this with the pressure and the noise could make him do Parcells 2.0?
Well, Parcells was a different story because that was a 3-5-11 seasons, and they wanted a stadium.
Yeah.
There's no stadium to be had unless there's something going on that we don't know about. And they're not 5-11. They're in a different. It's a different 3-year stretch of pressure. I don't know. I don't know that there is. I think obviously he would like want the name in because it's a big splash, but is he going to give up what Bill would want?
Yeah. Does he want to sacrifice
credit?
Does he want to sacrifice credit? Does he want to sacrifice some of the people in his personnel department who I don't think would work with Bill? I think if they move on from McCarthy, Bill's near the top of the list of people that they're going to talk about. Like, that's going to be a top of mind candidate for them. They'll clearly be willing to entertain it. I just think when they sit down, if they get down and they start talking to each other about what their ideas are, I think both of them are going to realize, like, we like each other. We'd love to work together. I don't think this is exactly is going to match up the way that we need it to.
Plus, all the reports now have Bill looking at the Jacksonville Jaguars with his relationship with Khan. But we have this.
And they're probably going to be the first one available. They might be the first one available. I mean, they might be able to hire him as an interim this year if they wanted to.
Let's see how tonight goes.
Accountability and apologies yesterday that I was glad to see, read, and hear. With I heard you guys talking about CeeDee Lamb yesterday at 6 o'clock, and then Mike McCarthy apologizing to Nick Harris. So that was actually good, with some accountability and some apologies from Lamb and McCarthy.
Personal growth. That's good. That's productive. They're moving forward.
Pretty dramatic there, Nick.
The McCarthy apology was needed, like, the next day. I'm not surprised. When you mentioned it on, what day was that, Tuesday? When you mentioned, like, you figured he was going to go in there, it makes sense because he knows he doesn't like looking like he's sweating up there. So when he breaks like that and it's universal, the criticism from people, that makes sense. CD standing up there talking about it. We're kind of, as you mentioned, kicking it around yesterday.
Let me stop you right there.
Uh-huh.
It finally hit me driving in.
Did it?
Yep.
What is it?
It finally hit me, your little tie to him and everything, and your weird defense, which you ended up wrong on, at least given Lamb's apology. You are CeeDee Lamb.
Oh, yeah.
That hit me yesterday.
Yeah.
You are giving him this pass for messing up just because you know you give him points for his intentions. And that's what we do with you.
Yeah.
When you come in late and oversleep and screw up or do something, like, someone asked on YouTube, why isn't he getting punished for this? How are there no ramifications at work? Well, it's because we like you, and it's because we know what your true intent is. So that finally clicked for me driving in. You're Lamb, but it's like your kid continuing to break your rules, but you're like, I think he means well. Like, he's not a bad kid. He just continues to break the rules. The bottom line for me is you did not do what you said. The scary part about the Lamb thing is he just spent an entire offseason talking about being a leader, and he did that crap in the third game of the season. That's what's scary about it. Like, it didn't get to the eighth game. It didn't get to the ninth game. But you're basically Lamb. You screw up. We should just take it that you screwed up, but we bend the rules a little bit and overlook it because of who you are and what you intend.
Don't you feel like with Lamb, though, when you've got a history of him making mistakes or whatever else, you don't feel like there's any nuance or like any sort of, there's no difference along the way where it's like, well, he did learn from that instance, but now it's okay, here's a new experience and the application needs to be adjusted? You don't feel that way at all?
No, I thought it was petulant last year, and what he did on Sunday was petulant.
Okay, but I just feel,
and it's just you're searching for the excuse versus, like, forgetting, you know, putting aside the bigger picture. The bigger picture is he's still acting petulant. And he owned it. I like what he said. Go ahead and move past it. But
it's just words.
It's just words. And I got to see it. This team is they're so good Tuesday through Saturday. They're so good on just talking and trying to cover it all up. But when the S hits the fan and things start to boil, they never respond with that type of composure on the field. They never respond with that type of composure within the lines. They fold, they crumble, and part of this offseason for the fans is talk is cheap. We're not listening to Jerry anymore about it. We're not going to listen to your sell jobs. We're not going to listen to all your podcasts. We don't care. Dak, with all your leadership statements and all your seminars, no one gives a crap. No one gives a freaking crap until you make it to the NFC Championship game. But at least they took accountability for it. That was good. I heard you had a blast last night with a guest in the Cowboy Hour.
Rocket Ishmael. He was, he was really, really good. And we had talked about this, the actual, like, this discussion about the blow-ups, like when Micah and DeMarcus Lawrence are interacting the way they are and CD's interacting the way they are. And he was talking about the first game he played for the Cowboys against Washington and how he had dropped a pass in the first half and he came back into the huddle. And Eric Williams just ripped into him in the huddle and took a big old club, whacked him in the side of the head, and he's like, I'm not kidding, the rest of the first half, my left side was numb. And he's like, it like messed me up like that. And he's like, later in the game, they dropped the same play. Emmett's in the huddle telling me the same thing. He's like, you better not drop the effing ball. We're about to throw it to you. And I didn't, and I came through with it. He's like, but here's the thing. He said, a foundation was built of trust and camaraderie, and there was a baseline for their interactions where they knew how they felt about each other. And they knew that they had the cachet built up, or whatever you want to say, that they knew that they had the baseline and the structured relationship to be able to then have Eric Williams whack him in the side of the head and him not freak out about it. So he's like, they can have those moments, but they better make sure that they've got a foundation that says, but we know what we expect from each other and we value each other. And so those moments, you can write them off because of what you've built. And the Cowboys haven't shown necessarily that they've got that.
And it did not surprise you to hear that Rocket was awesome with them.
Love Rocket. Rocket was great. Did some, you know, post-game shows with him.
Well,
over the years, he's fantastic.
That was with Joe D, right?
Yeah.
Joe D. Messina.
That's right. Coach Joe.
I remember us sitting at the Fan Sports Lounge.
Coach Joe was part of him. Tony Casillas was a part of him over the years. It was, he's a great guest. Tremendous.
Cowboys are doing something they've never done before this week. They're playing a road game on a short week. They have never played an away game with just 3 days between matchups. Every other team has played at least 6 road games with limited rest.
I mean, look, the Cowboys play a Thursday night game every year. That's unlike every other team in the league other than Detroit, right? So now, for years. Now everybody plays one, but for years, the Cowboys and the Lions were the only ones that play one every year. But this is just a correction. You know, they have to be eventually playing on road, a road Thursday night game. It just makes it more fair for the rest of the league because the rest of the league does this every other year, essentially. And I do wonder if what we're going to see moving forward is just division games for the Cowboys and for the Lions on these Thursday night games. Because the Lions last year went on the road to Green Bay on a Thursday and then home to Green Bay on Thanksgiving. This year, the Cowboys going on the road to the Giants and then home to the Giants on Thanksgiving.
Well, then they've done road Thursday night games before.
But not on a short week.
Not on a short week. I mean, they've had a short week. Like, for instance, the closest this ever happened was when they played the Titans at the end of the year a couple years ago. But that was a Saturday game before that. So they had the extra day of rest. But when you see a note like this, that's one of those ones where it's like, I don't want to hear anyone try to claim, like, the NFL's trying to screw the Cowboys all the time. The NFL's always got it out for the Cowboys. It's like, well, clearly the NFL has neglected something that the rest of the league has had a disadvantage for a minimum of 6 times over the years that the Cowboys haven't been given once. So it can't be that much of a screw job.
And the Cowboys and Giants both preparing to be without some defensive backs tonight?
Yeah, it looks like no Kalen Carson tonight, no Marquise Bell. Both of them are doubtful. Carson, that means probably a lot of Andrew Booth in this game, I would guess. And then for the Giants, they're missing 2 of their better corners, both guys who can play in the slot. Adoree Jackson is out, and Drew Phillips, the rookie, who may be one of their 5 best players based on what I've seen on tape leading up to this game. So that's a tough spot for the Giants to be in, and Dallas has got to take advantage of it.
Wyatt Langford does it again. Is Sam Darnold the MVP? Is Saquon Barkley making us all look bad? Mike Tomlin will go down as a better coach than Andy Reid, and Pittsburgh cannot go to Russell Wilson, which the Cowboys have coming up. RJ Choppy with some overreactions or not around the NFL and on your home of the Rangers. It's game day with Sean and RJ.
Hit a little better against righties than lefties. Langford swings. It's a fly ball to deep left field. That goes Nevin to the wall. He leaps, and it is history. A home run for Wyatt Langford. He just barely cleared the 8-foot-high wall and the glove of Tyler Nevin. Langford, with his 14th of the year, makes it 2-0 Texas, two batters into the game.
Only talking about the Texas Rangers, who, of course, are out of it because of Wyatt Langford. Two hits, two runs batted in, and a stolen base. And RJ Choppy has been all over Athletics Watch with this series ending in Oakland. Mike Bassick was sending me some footage of the city, some of the beautiful sights yesterday, sending me a video, but the Rangers win 5-1.
It is the end of an era.
And Evan Grant said the Rangers were briefed by officials for security precautions.
I mean, that tells you all you need to know about the state of affairs in Oakland. I was listening to Steve Phillips on MLB Network yesterday, and he was saying how, like, look, can't blame the A's for moving. Like, the city wouldn't pony up any money. I mean, they even moved their front offices to where they wanted to build the stadium. It's a mess, though. It is an absolute mess. Not the biggest mess baseball's got going on right now. That's the Braves and Mets, which is a completely different scenario.
What's happening? By the way, is attendance going up for this series Oakland?
Oh, yeah, it is. They raised the prices of the game. But, there was my buddy Wes is at the game. He sent me a photo of the stadium. And it looked like...
Oh, my, 35,270 listed.
Yeah.
Whoa. That's like their season attendance.
But the Mets-Braves... They got a hurricane going on in Atlanta. These two teams are separated by like a half game. Braves are like a half game out. And they had an off day on Monday. But baseball's not really like in charge of when the teams play. Like, the home team is in charge of when the game is. And the Braves are like, we're not moving this to a neutral site. We're keeping the gate. We're not moving this. They could have moved this thing to, you know, pick a stadium. We're not moving it.
Oakland.
And they could have moved to the Globe. He's like, we're not doing this. So... they didn't play on the off day Monday. They played on Tuesday, and they got rained out yesterday. They're going to get rained out today because the hurricane's there. So now baseball is going to have them play a doubleheader on Monday, the off day before the playoffs. Both teams are fighting for a playoff spot. So both teams are going to wind up playing a doubleheader Monday. At least one of them is making the playoffs. One of them is going to have to go to San Diego for a day game Tuesday because baseball's not playing night games on Tuesday in the wild card because they don't want to go up against the debate. They're like, we're not going to ruin. This is American democracy. You can't go up against the debate.
Are they doing a second debate?
It's the VP debate.
Oh, the VP debate.
It's the VP debate. And baseball's like, no, the VP debate's too important. We're not going to have.
Finally figure out what's going on with the Haitians.
Absolutely. We're not going to have that. So, I mean, what a disaster for the sport.
877-881-1053 in order to hit us up. Of course, it is an NFL Cowboys game day with Thursday Night Football against the New York Football Giants.
Yeah, and it's something where this one setting up tonight for the Cowboys is... I do have sincere concerns about this game. Choppy, it didn't seem like yesterday you were worried at all. Sean, outside of any sort of just your spiraling sort of angle from this... any concern about the Giants for you? Or is it just if they lose, they lose because they shoot themselves in the foot, the Cowboys?
I would say shoot themselves in the foot. I will ask you at 7:20 what their running game actually looks like. We're going to make the picks at 7:20. Paul Schwartz, our Giants insider, who we like, at 8. Michael Silver, national NFL reporter, at 9:20. And Babe Laufenberg at 8:40.
Oh, baby.
Plus, we have a Boys the Men ticket giveaway during the 7 o'clock expressway. Take us real quick around the rest of the NFL.
All right, little overreactions or not.
And by the way, the spread that I have right now is 6.
They went back up. Yeah, they went back up.
I like the way CD responded.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, it's McCarthy apologizing to Nick Harris.
Sam Darnold is your league MVP as of today.
Sure, but I mean, like, he won't be. But yeah, no, that's not an overreaction right now. If the season ended today, yes, the guy with like the most touchdowns in the NFL, who has like got the most impressive set of wins so far, yeah, he would be the MVP. It's just it's not going to stay that way. So not an overreaction right now.
Yeah, clearly not an overreaction. I was just trying to think who else it could be. Josh Allen.
Josh Allen. That's the main other one, I think.
Like, I have MVP odds as of the 24th, so all the games were played. Josh Allen's the leader.
Uh-huh.
And Sam Darnold is not even top five.
What about Dak leading the NFL in passing yards?
Oh, yeah.
Like, how do we factor that in?
Right into your empty stats that you love so much. It's in order. Allen, Mahomes, Rodgers, Stroud, Hurts, Burrow, Purdy, Lamar, Sam Darnold at 25-1, and old garbage time at 28-1.
Dak needs to be ahead of Burrow. Burrow can't win a game.
Yeah, but they also scored on every drive this past week and still lost. It's crazy.
So Dak's at 28-1, then Kyler, Jared Goff.
All right, next one.
Not an overreaction.
Sticking with Minnesota. Minnesota is the best team in the NFC. And record-wise, they are, but like
it's not an overreaction.
I really believe it.
No.
After what they did to Houston, like I was like, all right, that's a fluke against San Fran, and brought us, watched the tape like a beast. He's like, I was out on my walk, and I had an extra hour, so I heard you say you wanted to know what really happened, so I'm telling you what really happened. And it sounded a little bit fluky. I watched enough of that armpit game to know that was not fluky. And they made made C.J. Stroud look like seeing ghost Sam Darnold with the Jets. That was for real. Not an overreaction at all.
No, I mean, I know you don't think defense is sustainable there, Chop, but I mean, Brian Flores does have that defense just like causing opposing quarterbacks to look silly right now.
He doesn't think it's sustainable like year to year. Like, it could be fine this year. Wouldn't necessarily mean it's fine next year.
Right. Their defense looks really, really good right now. Darnold looks comfortable. And I mean, he's always had talent. Right now, he just looks comfortable and confident. And Justin Jefferson is not missing a beat. So, no, it's not an overreaction.
All right, I agree. Next one. Saquon Barkley was the best free agent signing this offseason.
All right, here's where I missed on Saquon. And I've always applied this to backs, and I didn't do it here, and it was probably a mistake. Can Saquon get to the second level? Will his offensive line get him to the second level? Because if he gets to the second level, he may be the most explosive running back still in the National Football League. And I guess I just assume there had to be times in New York with the Giants where he had second level opportunities. Maybe not. Maybe their offensive line, you talk to Giants fans and they think they haven't fixed it since Eli. That's their excuse for Eli sucking. And being overrated is because the offensive line was never fixed. But maybe the Giants' offensive line just was that bad that Saquon Barkley got no second-level opportunities. And I should have put two and two together with the Eagles' offensive line, even though they lost Kelsey. And they lost someone else, too, didn't they, in the offseason?
Fletcher Cox retired, but that was on the other side of the ball. Yeah. But I don't think anybody else on offense.
But I should have said, all right, if Saquon gets to that next level, he will be gone and break 60-yarders like he's doing. I'm just trying to think of other free agent signings that could qualify.
That's what I was just looking over. So
it's not an overreaction.
Not an overreaction. The top, like, annual value guys that got paid this offseason, Cousins, wouldn't be him. Christian Wilkins. Danielle Hunter has played well to start for Houston, but no, I mean, there's nobody that I'm looking at who's just, you know, blowing you away looking at this. So
are you both feeling like your Saquon takes are looking wrong as we all laughed at it and rolled our eyes?
He's having a good year. Yeah, you can't argue that he hasn't been an impact player.
That's not what I asked.
Yeah.
I asked if you guys are going to say
13
no, I
million?
I could be wrong.
13 million? I wouldn't spend. No.
I mean, look, if
he could break the rushing record, and I don't
if we're
I
truly trending towards if we're truly trending towards a blend of efficiency in the pass and the run game, like we've seen in the first few weeks, if that's where the league is going now and he stays healthy, then at that point, it's worth it.
Yeah, the issue is going to be.
And I would be wrong.
The issue is going to be.
I said it. He didn't.
Yeah. Well, the issue is going to be, like, you know, the length of the deal, the dead money and all that stuff. Coupled with the eventual decline that happens at 27.
Your cap charge for Zeke this year is like $4 million more than it is for Saquon Barkley.
Well, that, yeah.
Ugh.
But, I mean, over the course of the entire contract, that's what we're talking about. You know, I mean, not just this year. This year, it seems to be very, very worth it.
Not an overreaction.
Okay, next one. Mike Tomlin will go down as a better coach than Andy Reid.
Overreaction.
Okay.
That will not be thought of unless they win it this year with Justin Fields and Russell Wilson.
It's an overreaction in the sense of just how people, because I mean, Andy Reid, multiple Super Bowls. Mike Tomlin, what, he hasn't won a playoff game in a decade or something like that? It's been a long time.
I think it's been like 2015, maybe.
But Tomlin will be remembered as, more than anybody, is when you talk about the CEO coach and the culture coach, he'll be remembered as one of the greatest examples and success stories of that.
Overreaction.
Yes. Yeah. I think it's an overreaction, too. But Tomlin has had far worse quarterbacks. I mean, he had Ben.
Yep.
And Ben's going to the Hall.
Yep.
But after Ben, it's been a mishmash of garbage, and he still managed to drag them to the playoffs.
Yeah, to first-round exits. They're an automatic first-round exit.
Yep, they're capped. To be fair, before Andy Reid got Mahomes, when he had Alex Smith, they were the same.
And
Alex Smith was pretty damn good. Like, consistently, Andy Reid gets the most out of his passing.
And don't forget about all of the appearances of Philly.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
NFC Championship game 4 straight times.
No doubt. Speaking one more thing on Pittsburgh.
With DFW maybe elevating Andy Reid even more with the way we talk about Donovan McNabb. Like, I think we've nailed Eli here first, and the rest of the country is now catching on with the Hall of Fame argument. We may be wrong too far on the other side with crapping on McNabb as a player. Everyone just, oh, he skipped footballs. Oh, he's a big drunk. Oh, he's annoying. Oh, he's bitching about T.O. nonstop. I think we probably disrespect, just like we do with Kevin Garnett around here, we probably disrespect Donovan McNabb versus the rest of the country.
That's fair. One more thing on Pitt. They cannot go to Russell Wilson after this 3-0 start.
Oh, that's an overreaction, but this is not going to keep. I love the Bears fans. They're freaking out. Oh, we got rid of Justin for Caleb. Oh, figures. Look at how we're cursed. Justin Fields is not going to start for them all season long, and Russell Wilson will play because of Fields' ineffectiveness. Overreaction.
Yeah, I think
at some point.
I mean, look, let's look ahead 10 days from now. I mean, if Justin Fields runs for 200 yards on this Cowboys defense, which he might, maybe that solidifies the job for him. But honestly, no, that's an overreaction, because at some point they're just waiting for, as long as you're getting us by, it's fine. But you don't have any sort of a like hall pass to just have this job.
He's 27th in yards thrown. He has 2 touchdowns on the season. His QBR is 21st in the league. He ain't doing anything special. He's thrown for 245 good in their last game against the Chargers, 117 and 156.
He's Caleb Williams with dirt under his nails. That's what he is.
With dirt. All right. San Fran's win.
What's your take?
I think it's very hard to switch quarterbacks if you're 3-0. I think Bobby and you guys are right that eventually he'll have a game where they just say, we got to go.
It'll be a game or two.
Yeah, we got to go somewhere else.
All right, more on Around the NFL a little bit later on. Cowboys picks at 7:20 here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby. But it's Thursday, and that means it's the payload. Oh. I'm in love with this story. The leftover plane charger on the airplane. How long can you mourn a sports loss? And Peyton wants to make ramen great again. The payload on a Thursday, right after this.
Okay, am I hearing this right? The morning show is letting Peyton Russell have his own segment? I just don't get it. We've known Peyton for years. He's horrible on the mic. I mean, gathering the foreigners, this is going to be a train wreck.
Daddy does work, and Peyton just does board hopping.
That is right. It is the payload every Thursday at this time. A game day payload.
Game day.
The first time ever we have that game day payload here. And you heard the tease. Sean loves this story, so let's start with it. Another airplane drama incident taking place.
So good.
Is it stealing if you give it back? That's the big question here.
Yes.
Yes.
Depends.
It is.
That's not the big question here. The big question here is, would you have done the same thing? That's the question. set it up, Pepe.
Yeah, you got to explain this.
Would I have stolen the item, or you know, whose side am I playing here?
Just do the story.
Explain the story.
So we have an incident on airplane here where a woman has taken a man's charger, and the man calls her out for it, and she goes, "What? I'm gonna give it back to you." And I'll play audio here in a second. And she's like, "What? It's not a big deal. I'm gonna give it back to you. It was left on the plane. Like, I'm gonna take it." And he goes, "No, you were gonna steal it until I called you out for it." And we'll play the incident here, and then you can be the judge.
So
on
were they getting off the plane? Like,
they were getting on the plane.
They were getting on the plane.
It seems like it. The way they're talking, it's almost a connecting flight or something. Because they were, the way he's talking is he left it on a plane and she grabbed it because it had been left on the plane or whatever. And then they were getting on another one. So it seemed like it was a connecting flight that they were both on.
Okay. So I think the video starts with her getting on the plane. He's already at his seat. She's getting on the plane.
That's so they're the both like getting on the same second flight.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. And he somehow knows that she grabbed his charger.
Yes.
And it might have been because a charger, you know, it might have just looked like his or whatever. But yeah, you know, he finds out that, hey, she took it. So here's the audio of the altercation between the man and the woman getting on the connecting flight.
Did you take my charger?
Yeah, why
would you take my charger?
Because we got off the flight.
Yeah, but my charger, that's my charger. Why would you take
it? You're going to get it back.
But why would you take it, though, without permission?
Because nobody was on the flight, bro.
Yeah, but that's my charger.
And you're getting it back.
Okay, can I have it back?
If you give it back, are you really stealing it?
This guy's a little bitch. Yeah. He just is. He had his phone out like a little TikTok girl trying to record. And he's, you're going to be on TikTok soon, a little biatch. The question is this. You're getting off the flight and there's this nice charger, right? The seat's empty in front of you. You know that person has left. And the charger's like sitting up there plugged in. Are you reaching over and snagging the charger? That's the question, because I'm not killing her for this, unless she's going to say he's going to realize it. And it's a mofo to get back on an airplane to grab a belonging. You're not supposed to do
that.
You
got to. You would get one of the gate agents to go on the plane and get it for you.
Yeah, and didn't someone snag your candy or something? You threw a hissy fit about.
But I was blaming myself because I left it, and I was like, crap, ate it. But
if there's a bag of unopened candy right in the fourth row, and you're in the back of the plane, and everyone else has left. I'm not killing you for grabbing that bag of candy. And I'm not killing her for snagging the charger.
Yeah, if they were in the same row and, you know, she grabbed it out of the thing and before he could grab it, then that's completely stealing. That's thievery. If it's the scenario you just pointed out where...
Or maybe you think you're going to see him at baggage claim, you know, like you take it and...
Bring it for you.
I'll see him because you're familiar. That person was right there. Right. Maybe the row in front or back.
That could be it too. But, you know, look, I mean, either way, she should have left the charger there, period. But he can't get mad either. He lost the ability to get upset if he forgot the charger. If he just left it there. Like, you know, just don't... If it's not yours, don't take it. Like, especially if you know that it was on the plane. Like, give the guy at least a minute to recognize, oh, I forgot my charger. I'm going to send the gate agent down there to get it. But he also can't get mad and do this. He left it.
I would not take it if I saw it.
Yeah.
But if it was my charger and I knew somebody took it, I would be like, damn, I left it. That sucks. I would ask for it back. I would not go like, you stole it. I would just be like, did you happen to pick up my charger?
How did he pinpoint and trace it back to her?
Did he tell?
Seems a little setup. I think other people around said it, Peyton, right?
Maybe so. I don't know. Again, the way the charger looked, it looked
Peyton
like...
didn't read the story.
Your story.
it looked like the charger could have been, you know, just... It didn't look like a normal charger. It didn't look like the box and the cord and everything. It looked like it was built a little different.
And is there a nice enough charger? I'm stupid with technology. What is this nice ass charger where you're like, oh my gosh, this is worse summer. This is hard to get.
You get your standard lightning chargers, which they are like gold. But you know, look, there's an example on the golf course over the weekend. We're playing and this guy left his ball on the green. All right. So, I mean, the ball's on the green. Pro V1, good golf ball. $5-6 a golf ball, whatever it is. I was like, all right, well, screw it, man. He left the ball. I'm going to take it.
I know old smuggling Sarah went and took it.
Oh, no. She didn't.
The mackerel. Absolutely. She's worse than me finding range balls and keeping them.
Oh, yeah. She will go scouring the woods. She did not care. But, yeah, I mean, I grabbed the ball. If the guy came to me on the next hole and said, hey, did you find my golf ball?
Now, were they right in front of you?
Yeah, they're right in front of me.
All right. See, that's worse than this. Because you know exactly where they are, right?
Right, but like I
are you gonna catch up to them eventually and wait for them to tee off? Like or they're in the fairway in front of you while you're on the tee and you're like, hey yo, and you just chunk it up the fairway?
Well, I mean, look, people lose golf balls all the time, right? You lose it in the woods, you can't find it. The next person that drives by picks it up. It's a social
expected
convention.
Loss.
It's an expected loss. Now, if it's a sand wedge on the green, you absolutely give it back.
Okay.
Right? You find the guy. Now they usually drive back for it when they figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, oh, two hole, next hole. Oh, I forgot my sandwich. You bring it back. A golf ball, it's understood, right? Okay. Golf ball's understood.
Yeah.
This is like, it's kind of in between here. It's but not.
Where am I supposed to find this guy?
Like, exactly.
I'm not finding this guy when we all get off the plane unless they are in my row.
Right. You've
He's
got
gone
very
forever.
Limited.
I'm never going to see this guy unless it's at the baggage claim.
Yeah, baggage claim would the other be the spot. Yeah.
Never going to see this person for the rest of my life. And he's going off and recording her on the next flight.
So, Sean, you're saying if you took someone's charger that they had left behind on a plane flight, but you saw them, you would then give it back.
Yes. Is
that, okay, I totally agree with that. If you know, there should be a time limit on this thing.
It depends. Did they have an annoying kid on the flight?
Or they're filming you?
Are they filming me? Do they have raw onions on their sandwich? Then I'm not giving it back.
Right. So, no, I'm totally with Sean here. You know, there should be a time limit here. You know, you got a certain amount of time between the time we get off the flight that I have your charger or whatever the belonging is before you get it back. Or
like,
not.
Look, finding extra chargers, that's gold. I mean, there's been plenty of times. Now, I haven't taken them. But I'm not going to kill you for doing it. There's been plenty of times in here people leave their chargers, and I'm like, I need that. I could use that. I don't do it. But if it's just sitting there on the airplane, I'm never going to see this person again. They're not getting back on the plane to get it because of the whatever flight rules there are. Take it. This guy's a little attention whore.
Yeah, he is.
Little TikTok attention whore.
Another loser on an airplane is what
a
I call
loser.
It.
And I actually Suckers think this happened losers. Years ago because I actually did read the story on like Pepe. because the girl posted like a follow-up and she's like, here I am, charger thief. This actually happened years ago, but it's resurfacing, so now I'll explain myself.
And the lady says
she's attractive, too.
She got death threats, all
she
that
is.
Stuff.
Death threats.
Death threats. Yeah, that's over funny. This. Ridiculous. All right, it is the payload every Thursday at this time. It is a game day. And for a lot of us, the Cowboys game tonight is going to determine our mood for tomorrow. It's going to ruin our Friday, ruin our weekend. Maybe not us here at the
not
station.
Me. I'm but, over
but
that.
The, you know, the Tolos, 877-801-1053, Frankel, injury attorney text line. Do the Cowboys or does any team of yours, favorite team, sports team, affect your mood for either the next day or the next week? You know, in football, you play once a week. And so, you know, a loss for the Cowboys could determine an entire week for you. And this is Diana Rossini on the Dan Le Batard podcast, and she's going off about how her husband is an Eagles fan and how because the Birds lost to the Falcons last week, that determined his mood for the next few days.
And my husband said two words to me. He's an Eagles fan. And I'm like, this can't be a thing. Like, I don't want to be the household that is shaped by the result of a football game. Like, A, grow up. B, you're a father. I don't want our children having a culture where mommy and daddy's tone in this house is based on the result of the Philadelphia Eagles. Who cares? So stupid.
Some people call it childish. I just call it passionate.
You know, Diana Rossini, number one, is probably a hypocrite because she probably was that fan in order to get into this job. And then when you get into this job, that leaves you.
It does.
It leaves you because she's covering all the teams and talking to them. You want your kid. I want my kid to be diehard. Mm-hmm. I don't want temper tantrums like on a Thursday, but Cowboys win or losses would affect me at least Monday and Tuesday, but not this season.
Here's the thing is that
it's a win-win.
Fans like her husband, all right? The fact that there are so many of them that feel that way is why she has a job that pays her as well as she does.
Oh, that's for sure.
Like, she's saying, like, who cares? All right, you want people to not care, then you get laid off because then nobody wants to consume what you do. Like, that's the whole point, Diana. That's why Diana has a job that she does.
Yeah, I mean, that is true. Like, it is also, like, it all depends on what you have going on in your life, how much your sports team does to you.
I mean, not back in the day for me. Back in the day,
Right, when you were a kid. Like, most adults have families, wives, kids, husbands, jobs that are, you know, 50, 60-hour weeks. They don't have time for their sports team to ruin their mood because they have to move on to the next thing.
That's good, man. I mean, that's part of the fan engagement and the passion of it.
Mavericks still work me up like that a little bit.
Just don't, like, stab people, you know?
Really? Yeah.
And kill people out in parking lots. But, yeah, it's good.
I will say, back in my single days, it did affect
so long
me.
Ago.
11 months to the day, actually.
It's yet, only 11 months. You guys have lived together for 9.
I know, we started living together after 2. So
this is your 11-month anniversary today?
11 months today.
Are you doing anything for it?
Well, I'll be working Cowboys. So I mean, I think we're going to Hibachi tomorrow with some family. So we'll count that as like a little anniversary somewhat.
Month anniversaries.
Very thoughtful to have parents pick up the bill for your anniversary.
Well, you know, I'm not paying for it. But yeah, you know, back in my single days, I mean, sports affected me a lot more than like it does now. Because now it's like,
yeah, now you just switch and root for the other team.
Yeah,
yeah, you just put on, right. Now you just put on the uniform of whoever won the game.
That's you're like, right. You're like the guy buying 6 lotto tickets instead of 2.
Now that's why when we have the Fantex is way more active on the days the Cowboys lose than when they win. Yeah. Way more active because people it hurts them.
It is the payload every Thursday at this time. Sean, we have one more story here for you guys. Look, Sean, you're the pit master here. And Gen Z is going to spice up your grilling game, or your cooking game at least. Instant noodles. Ramen noodles are making a comeback, but it's not just the noodles and broth. They're putting meat and all sorts of veggies inside of it. I'm a big ramen noodles guy. I have no problem with this. My ramen noodles, I throw it on the stovetop in the pot. I dump a little egg in it, you know, some green onions if I want to.
Yeah.
If I have them, I have no problem with this. And look, making cheap meals and making it into like a gourmet, I totally love the idea of it. Just because it's cheap doesn't mean you have to leave it cheap.
Whenever Amanda will randomly get out a ramen and there'll be like, you know, 4 or 5 bites left and I've finished the leftover, I'm like, okay, This is fine.
Ramen's great.
This is totally fine. And if you can go ahead and spice that up, why wouldn't you? Rather than buying some, you know, those noodle shops.
The
udon,
wabis.
I don't know what it is. Yeah, the wabis.
Oh, they're great.
Yeah, why not? Ramen, like, is that better than the other base level things you could compare it to? Like, Ollie has those shake up mac and cheese that doesn't taste like anything. SpaghettiOs, things
ramen's
on that
still
level.
Good.
And ramen's still good.
Those little packets of ramen, which by the way, Peyton, when I was in college, you get for 10 cents a piece. That's how old I am.
Oh, inflation.
That's thanks. Right. Those ramen packets, they take the Kraft mac and cheese box. I think that's the other one. That's just the base level. That's very, very good. But they take the Kraft mac and cheese over their knee and spank it.
No doubt.
They are so much. The base ramen is maybe the best food for your buck. Not healthy.
No.
Right?
A lot of salt.
But they're fantastic.
It is the payload here on DFW Sports Station. It's a game day here with the entire crew back together again. Before we pick the game, RJ has a Cowboys concern for you to rank 1 through 5. Leadership, wideouts, Dak, O-line, missing the playoffs. Let's rank your Cowboy concerns before we pick the Giants game tonight right here on The Fan.